big boy panties back on. Put your breeches back on.
Did you
on.
Say my big boy panties?
Yes, I did. Go with it.
That'll be in the opener.
Yeah, it will.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Mi nombre es Nalia, con Georgia Spine en Orthopedics en Tucker, y estás escuchando Ayúdame con HIPAA.
Thank you for that intro. I am David Sims of Security First IT and HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is the always wonderful and marvelous Donna Grindle of Cardin.
What you want.
I need something from you, Donna. So how's it been going in your shelter in place?
It feels so terrifyingly normal to me. And, I'm one of those ambiverts where if I'm out, I can be an extrovert, but I'm perfectly content being an introvert. Mm-hmm. It's a complex life I lead. But yeah, we've been having, one or two people stop by and we stay out on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody's, terrified to be the one to give it to me.
Yeah. Oh, we killed Donna. It's like you kill Kenny, you know?
Yeah. Who killed Kenny? Kenny's dead.
Yeah, that would be tough. I would definitely have to find somebody who can do some AI then. That way we can keep the podcast going.
Yeah.
We have a deep fake Donna.
Ooh. There you go. Because you could probably, of all these episodes, this is 256. You could probably manage to put some stuff together. Just leave out when I had my various colds and allergies and.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we wouldn't have that much then.
I know, right? It's all good.
Yeah. So I actually went to a restaurant. Of course, I had to eat outside on the patio, but yes, got out, ate somewhere. So things are opening back up here.
Yeah, I'm worried. There's a new hot spot in North Georgia that. This just happens to be where all my family goes to the doctor.
Hmm.
So keep an eye on that. But
yeah,
most of them are too mean. It won't hurt them. That's what they say anyway.
Yeah, probably right. All right. So today, we're still reeling from all this mess. And apparently there's still some confusion about HIPAA privacy rights and whether or not they're even existing anymore at this point.
I know, it's crazy.
So, as much as we think we shouldn't have to talk about it, we're going to have to talk about it, because OCR issued some guidance. And of course, we always know when guidance comes out, it's because somebody screwed up.
Somebody did something. I'm telling you, OCR is staying busy. Their investigators are still working. Everybody's still doing their jobs.
Yeah.
It's clear.
Yeah. You mean to tell me that they didn't shut them down?
They can work from home.
I thought HIPAA got suspended.
Yeah. And I was like, will HIPAA survive the pandemic? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I actually saw that headline. And, it's just that lack of understanding. And we know that there's a great deal of lack of understanding in the industry. You can't imagine those that aren't in the industry.
I know. Yeah, I saw something similar to that. It was, like HIPAA was not created to for a pandemic or something like that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, we already talked about it in another episode, the one that was like, if people need to waive HIPAA so they can tell us. Wait a minute, you want the individual, it doesn't apply to patients, they can do what they want. Oh geez.
It reminds me of the commercial with the two old ladies, and the one's putting pictures on her wall, and she's like, I was on social media and I put pictures on my wall, and the other lady's like, it doesn't work that way. None of this works that way.
Yeah, I remember that was a good one. It's not the way it works, no.
So
we're going to talk about that. Of, what does HIPAA privacy really mean? And it is going to survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It will be a thing. But first, we have announcement.
Dum, dun, dun, dun,
so
dum,
We talked last week about how we were trying to figure out the whole boot camp and what we're going to do. And we decided it's going to be online, but how are we going to be online? And when's it going to be online? And why is it going to be online? Well, we know why. But so we've finally got it all ironed out. So we are going to announce it right now. I know we need some of that music, like.
There you go, Bo.
Bo, make it happen.
Yeah, if you're hearing us tell Bo to make it happen, that means he listened closely. Anyways, so it is, we're going to do one because we don't think we can do two.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, we're going to do one online conference, one online meeting.
One big one.
There will be limited seating. And it will be literally an online meeting for 3 days.
Yep.
We're going to replicate as best we can the in-person experience, but do it through Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well. And yes, so what we were, it's HIPAA Boot Camp, the COVID version. And so here's the deal is we expect that you are not going to treat it like a lunch and learn webinar and do it at your desk. You need to develop a plan, just like we're going to develop a plan that lets us segment off. We're not going to have our normal work bothering us, just like you would if you were physically at a conference. So whether you do that from home, you do it in a special office, we don't know. You have to participate in the planning just like you would participate in the planning of getting yourself here.
Correct.
Right, David?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. So you participate in the planning, all of those kind of things. But the good news is you don't have to drive in traffic if you're here in Atlanta or fly here or any of those kind of things. And we're keeping in mind that everybody's budget's going to be tight. So the good news is, you know, you won't have to pay that travel time and those kind of things. And we're going to have a special COVID discount.
Yes.
Which what we did, because we calculated it and it doesn't save us a lot of money because the way we were lean and mean doing it to do it this way. But what we're going to do is the previous early bird price is going to be the list price for this one. And the early bird price, which ends on
July 18th.
July 18th, it ends. You can no longer get it after that day. We will not allow that purchase price after July 18th. Is $14.97. So there you go. And we plan on hopefully limiting, you know, we have probably half of the seats that we planned on doing already taken by people who were registered for the August and September dates.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we prefer to do this in person, right now is not the time to push the envelope for healthcare right now. So no matter what, healthcare needs to save money, have people available, all those things. And they need to understand HIPAA requirements that we teach in the boot camp. So we're trying to do it all because that's what we do.
True. That is exactly what we do. So let's recap. So we're going to have one session, which is going to be August 18, 19, and 20. It will be online. However, it will also be limited, which some people are like, oh, why would you limit it? It's online. But the reason we limit it is because we do spend time with each and every person, helping them with certain things during the boot camp. So we can't help everybody if we have too many people. So that's why we limit it. Next thing.
We want interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, that's part of the other things I don't think we covered is, you know, we do want everybody to be on video and all that. We want you to be at the conference. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So plan to be at the conference. So you turn your camera off. You bad.
We're calling you out.
You're like, turn your camera back on. Don't make me have to turn it on for you.
We're gonna call you out.
Yeah.
You know, because we do that anyway.
Mm-hmm. We may have to pass some other ground rules, like don't take us to the bathroom with you.
Yeah, don't, you know. Still want to hear the toilet flush, though. We'll make sure we do that. So,
yeah. So doing online August 18, 19, 20. The early bird price is now until July 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be $14.97. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then after that, the full price will jump to $17.97. Did I get all that right?
I believe so.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do. So
that's it.
Head on over to thehippabootcamp.com to get all that information.
That's right. Thehippabootcamp.com. Go there to learn about it, register, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully by the time you go there, it will be working.
It is working.
Well, you can't register right now.
That's your job.
I know.
I did the rest of it.
Yeah, like 5 minutes ago. All right.
I don't care. By the time they listen, it won't be 5 minutes ago.
Okay, let's move along.
Let's move right along. All right. So thanks to the donors that we have that help keep this show on the air. Cover all of our cost of Donna's medication. We appreciate your support. If you do want to help out, you can go to helpmewithhippa.com. There are donation buttons there. So thanks for that. If you don't want to donate, then share us out. You know, give us to somebody.
Spread the word.
Yep.
It's just, we don't have much that we ask in return of having to listen to us ramble. Other than, you know, share us on social media, encourage others, and we appreciate that promotional skill that you will use on us.
Absolutely, we do. And thanks for those who do it, because some people do it regularly, and we like it.
We greatly appreciate sharing us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. You know, I just haven't gotten around to making sure we're on Insta, but I guess I will.
So, I know we've said this before, but you were on a recent other interview thing with
that came out this week
with Jen.
Yes,
what, security metrics or whatever.
Uh huh.
And so Jen finds the need to somehow, you know, well, Donna started it, called me out on LinkedIn, and so Jen's like, "Well, sorry, David." To which I replied, "Yeah." Whatever.
Yeah. So that was fun doing it on video. You know, we're not used to that. So I had to actually be prepared, but
yeah, we have faces for radio.
Which y'all will all learn about when you sign up for the HIPAA Bootcamp. All right, let's get this thing on the road, brother.
All right. Well, first a word from our sponsors. The number of medical practices that think they're HIPAA compliant is pretty staggering. Effective privacy and security are an ongoing process, not a checklist. And that's why at Cardin, they don't just assess your situation and leave you with a report, but they work with you all along the way. Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 or visit them on the web at cardinhq.com. Aren't your patients worth it?
Are you frustrated with your current IT provider? Are you sure you're getting the security and protection you need? Are you putting your patients and your practice at risk? If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, give Security First IT a call to learn more about how they can protect your patients, your practice, and your bottom line. Find them online at securityfirstit.com or call 980-288-5100.
3, 2, 1, we're back. All right, HIPAA privacy rights. They're still there, right?
Yeah. Believe it or not. And you know, the one thing that this crisis has done is it makes people talk about it more. And there's a lot to, you know, figure out. But the bottom line is we're not losing our right to privacy as part of the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
That's not built in at all.
Yeah, at least not in healthcare. I think there's some other places we're losing privacy.
Yeah, well, but one of the big things, and well, that makes me think of another topic I need to discuss, which is health information exchanges. I got a real problem with those. But anyway, when OCR released a bulletin, guidance, whatever, this week, and it is guidance on covered health care providers and restrictions on media access to protected health information about individuals in their facilities.
Yeah, that's a long title right there.
I know, right? But then it linked to basically like a cheat sheet, a FAQ, a FAQ.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was necessary to reiterate this, but then I watched it and I'm like, oh yeah, because there's stuff I've been watching and going, I wonder if they, you know, got approval to shoot that scene in the emergency room. So the little cheat sheet made it clear. And we know whenever we see these bulletins, you know, either there's some big thing happening or someone did something.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's someone did something.
Yeah. It's very seldom is it somebody didn't do something.
Yeah. It's, well, they did, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
I thought HIPAA was suspended.
So in that little cheat sheet, HIPAA and disclosures of PHI to the media, it included some information that we all need to understand. And that means all of us. If you're a technical person, you have the ability to expose information to the media just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember that we should wash our hands, give people personal space, and that we still have the right to privacy about our health care.
Well, at least two or three of those, I think I learned in kindergarten.
I know, right?
Wash your hands, stay away from them, keep your hands to yourself. No, don't touch her, David.
I'm not touching you.
Oh, I did that to my sister until she like literally has to have counseling now because of it.
Yeah. I would have just smacked you upside the head. We'd been in a brawl. I was always fighting with my siblings. I'm sorry, with my sister. My brother's 8 years younger. It was never the same way. But let's review what things were in that guidance, in that FAQ. And also, we're going to do another review, okay? Mm-hmm. So that... Any of the things that have been released have never said you're going to get rid of HIPAA or patient privacy. So get in line. We're all getting ready to open back up. It's time to put our big girl panties back on.
Okay, that's going to look weird on me, but okay.
Behave as you know. Big boy and big girl.
Okay, there you go.
Big boy panties back on. Put your breeches back on.
Did you say my big boy panties?
Yes, I did. Go with it.
That'll be in the opener.
Yeah, it will. And, you know, behave as you know you should before and even more so after. Okay, so after COVID, it means some of us have to put on clothes anyway, but
yeah,
we're not going to go through that. We've seen enough of that on social media. Okay.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
I know.
You're so busy, but you got time. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people aren't busy and it's clear. But time for everybody to wake back up and remember this never changed.
Yeah.
This didn't change.
So would this be AC or P Will it be AC or PC? Are we going with after COVID or post COVID?
Well, it ain't over yet, so we can't.
But we have to know these things beforehand.
We can do BLD and ALD.
Okay.
Before lockdown and after lockdown.
Yeah, but that's too complicated.
I know. That's why I was trying to ignore you. So here's the first question. Does the COVID-19 public health emergency alter the HIPAA privacy rules restrictions on disclosures of protected health information to the media? What's the answer, David? We're all waiting.
I would go, let's see, what are my options? I'd say no. No.
No.
There's no guidance that's come out that said otherwise.
No, and never. Never. I can't believe that they had to have this guidance, but then I could believe it.
It's like we came out with guidance about this, but now we have to come out with guidance that says you can't do this other thing because you look at this guidance and I don't know.
I know. Well, it's just like everybody, you know, first we know everybody is exhausted and under pressure. And doing jobs they weren't necessarily always doing. You know, there are people that are coming out of other jobs to help out in, you know, at the reception desk and stuff like that, where they're under a lot of gas. This is why your entire workforce is supposed to understand and cross-train.
Tell them.
So I understand that, you know, they should be worried about saving lives, not what the media is doing.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the media wants to show what's really happening. So it's a catch-22, but I would rather live in a country that had, you know, freedom of the press than one where we were told what Putin said. So anyway, in their guidance, they said, as explained in prior guidance, HIPAA does not permit covered healthcare providers to give the media, including film crews,
mm-hmm.
access to any area of their facilities where patients' PPS, PHI will be accessible in any form. And then they have to add written, electronic, oral, or other visual or audio form without first obtaining a written HIPAA authorization. And they did add this emphasis to this line, from each patient whose PHI would be accessible to the media.
Okay.
Additionally, covered healthcare providers may not require a patient to sign a HIPAA authorization as a condition of receiving treatment.
If you don't agree to be on TV, then you can just bleed out in the doggone waiting room.
Yeah. You know, it's like, really? So in order for you to save my life, I have to give up my rights for my privacy. Not really what it's supposed to be. And then they added the next question.
All right.
You know, they did go out of their way to bold something, which tells you something.
Mm-hmm. They're hollering.
Yeah, they really yell at the end. But may HIPAA-covered healthcare providers allow media or film crews to film patients in their facilities where patients' protected health information will be accessible without the patient's authorization if the patient's faces are blurred or their identities are otherwise masked in the video.
Okay.
No!
I mean, that's a better question than the first one, but still.
But come on! You know, if you tell them the first thing, then they ask the second thing, but they blurred their faces.
Yeah, the face is blurred, but I see the names on the chart.
Well, it's not even that. It's that, you know what? All the reporters, the film crew, the production crew, everybody involved in it has it for them. They count as exposure.
Yeah, and the blurring is something that happens, you know, during editing. So the raw film is out there.
Yeah. So you're still exposing the patient information to reporters Hello, film crew.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody involved in the production. So the fact that they're blurring it after the fact, take a minute and think about how many people you're still exposing the information to who have no rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody's on the edge, and we know that, and I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form say that we don't understand that. But these kinds of things should be part of your incident response, business continuity, and if it's not, it's time to add it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And they did go ahead and point out. Because I'm thinking, why are they even having to do this? Because, you know, they had the big settlements. A few years ago, we even did an episode on it because it was a settlement. You know, we did an episode.
Yeah.
2016-2018, OCR successfully resolved investigations of covered hospitals' unauthorized disclosures of patients' PHI to television film crews. All of the cases concluded with corrective action plans and monetary settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, we didn't play then.
Ain't nothing changed.
It, you know, we were clear then that we took this seriously.
Maybe they have to come out like they recycle their guidance. You know how like they tell businesses to recycle their content? Maybe OCR has to come out with like the same guidance over and over again.
Well, but they have. This was the media guidance was in February. They already did that.
So basically, they come out with guidance that says, how many times have I told you? This is the don't make me say it again guidance.
It's not like you never heard that from your mom, I know. Anyway, that brings us to the final answer. Can a covered healthcare provider ever allow the media to film patients in areas of their facilities where patients' PHI will be accessible?
Yeah.
They just said it.
I know.
But they're going to have to say it again. And they did say it was a very polite way to say one more time, I'm going to tell you one more time what I just told you twice before, is if every patient who is or will be in the area or whose PHI otherwise will be accessible to the media, has first signed a valid HIPAA authorization, then they may permit the media to film in areas of their facilities where patients' PHI will be accessible. But even then, they must ensure that safeguards are in place to protect against unauthorized disclosures.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, install the privacy screens, prevent the film crew from viewing PHI on the computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these kind of things that make it where it's the minimum necessary for them to do their job, and the patients have agreed to it. If they didn't sign an authorization, we go back to reference question one and two. So to me, when I'm reading this, it really is all I could envision was Tom Hanks screaming, "There's no crying in baseball!" And OCR going to scream, "Only with an authorization!"
But the funny part is that, you know, this is kind of one of those things where you want to say, if you don't know, then just don't do it. But yeah, at the same time, how many times have we said that people blame HIPAA for all kind of reasons they can't release information? So then you got one end of the spectrum going, I'm sorry, I can't give you that because HIPAA doesn't allow me. And you're like, what? And then you got these other people that's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sure. Bring the whole film crew in. HIPAA has nothing to say about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. What? It's like, I want, you know, there's people who won't tell their families things, but then they'll let the news crew in.
Yeah. So, okay. So whatever.
You know that I had issues. I couldn't help myself. I was like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to make a podcast about this, but we're going to use this as our thing. And on top of that, we also got a listener who sent in something, because I love the fact that they make sure we don't miss stuff.
I know.
Thank you for doing that, because there's only so much work I can do. And we know what the other half does.
I do if he everything sees something, else.
If he sees something, he sends it to me and goes, maybe on the podcast? Really? You write it. Okay, so this is Tony Schloss. I hope I say it right. But, you know, school, slough, slosh, schloss. I don't know how to say it. You give it a shot, David. No, you
refuse. I think it's schloss.
Schloss.
Schloss. Schloss.
Like I schloss around a lot when I've had a lot of beer. Schloss. Okay, so.
Tony, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
He sent us a message that said, don't know.
He won't do it again.
He will. He listens to us. He's okay with it. I don't know if you two have seen this yet, but thought it might be worthwhile for you to hit on the podcast. Really made me pretty mad when I read it. Someone violated HIPAA. Don't know who, but it is a travesty. And, you know, it is one of those things that when you read it, you know. And again, we talked about this in our first, you know, right at the beginning COVID episode, where I was complaining because the few that were in Northwest Georgia, and his son was told not to come to work, who lived in another town,
mm-hmm.
and his grandson couldn't come to school, and they hadn't even seen each other like in a month or two. You know, so anyway, clearly somebody was telling somebody something,
mm-hmm.
because nobody, and we were talking about it then. And here we are. This came out May 11th, so right now. And a woman who tested positive for the virus, and, you know, it's, you want them to heal.
Right.
Not be dealing with crap like this. She goes to the mailbox, you know, because she's able to be at home. I mean, she's not like an ICU or anything.
Right.
And she goes to the mailbox, and there's a little post-it note on there.
Okay.
In her mailbox.
Please renew your subscription.
That said, we can no longer deliver mail because someone had tested positive at this address.
Uh-uh. Really?
I can't even give you mail.
What?
And, yeah.
I mean,
and they, you know, people get like bills and medication and,
yeah, like, can you do that? Like, can the U.S. Postal Service do that?
How would they know?
Yeah. Well,
that's where we it.
That was the obvious part. But
whether they can do it or not is irrelevant if they were never told and they weren't supposed to know.
They opened the mail and saw the results.
But here's the woman's point is, her mailbox is out on the street, well away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's one of those little boxes, you know. And even then, yeah, but they said they couldn't tell me why they stopped my mail, except the police told them to stop the mail.
I smell a lawsuit.
I mean, come on. I mean, the loop keeps going. And so the notice, and this was the post office statement, the communications specialist in an email to somebody said,
mm-hmm.
the notice to the customer regarding their mail delivery was left in error.
Yeah, you think?
We apologize for any inconvenience that may have been experienced by our customer as soon as local postal managers were made aware. What, when she called, they didn't know?
Apparently,
you know, they
not.
Didn't say, wait, let me ask a manager.
Yeah.
Somebody knew, the police told them. They took steps to resolve the issue and have confirmed that mail delivery has resumed.
Yeah, that's like you said, if they're bringing mail, what does that matter? I can understand if they were trying to say, we're not going to pick up mail from you because you touched it, even though that's still wrong. But then, is it one of these things where the police get a list, you know, like here's a list of people that, that have it, and then somebody started running off at the mouth?
Well, there's more to that. Oh. So, you know, now, and here's here to make it, and you know, people try to do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes in your effort to do the right thing, you're putting salt in the wound, but you don't know it. It's like it doesn't make sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
She finally gets her mail, a big stack of mail, and on top of it is a, another post-it note from her mail carrier going, I stand with you. Just reiterating, and I know you have COVID, and I shouldn't. And it's like...
She should have just put a post-it on there and said, they made me do it.
I know, right? But still, you know, it's like just reiterating that now the mail carrier knows, and the mail carriers talk to no one, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But they did, the interim assistant chief of police, when they called, they did not give such guidance, and they don't have jurisdiction over the postal matter, so they say they didn't do it. And, of course, now this isn't in Tennessee. It isn't in Georgia, but it is in Tennessee. So it's not that far away, and I'm not quite sure where Smithville, Tennessee is, but the article's there, and you know, the woman's like, well, it's out there, I might as well tell everybody what happened.
Everybody knows anyway.
Yeah. And okay, so clearly there's a lot of this going on.
Wow.
And it's time for people to remember what I mean, how did they know? I mean, how did they know? So, yes, Tony, thank you for sending us that, because it blended perfectly with this other guidance that, you know, came out. And I really want to talk about it. It was a perfect example. Not only is the media being told and allowed to do things, but clearly somebody sharing something with somebody.
So wait a minute. So Tony sends you an article to include on the podcast and you thank him. But when I send you an article to include in the podcast, you're like, really?
Yes, that is correct.
Write it yourself.
That is exactly what happens thank Tony for contributing.
Oh. Oh, man, you're going to have words after this.
Okay.
Fine. So, Tony, you just do the next episode yourself. Send no more links. You write it. Write it out. And read it and send us the audio. Jeez Louise. Go right ahead, Donna, with your stuff.
I thought that I would go through what guidance has been released during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we could, you know, kind of reiterate what's temporary, what's not. And let's try to be clear on at least the fact that this is not an optional thing now. You don't get to decide when you should or shouldn't participate in doing we're going to protect the privacy of people that have cancer, but not those that have COVID-19. It's not optional. And you don't get to discriminate. And this is one of the things that OCR has already been doing stuff about. Because remember, part of your civil rights is not just the right to privacy that OCR does, but the right to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And not being isolated and discriminated against because of your diseases and stuff like that.
Right.
So let's, one more time, we're going to take, we did this before, but now as everybody's opening up, we're going to reiterate it, that OCR started at the beginning of February. doing notifications and telling everybody, hey, this thing is coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, this is the guidance from the CDC. So you need to keep this in mind. Follow what the CDC says. But under sharing patient information, they are reiterating, you know, there's treatment, but you're allowed to share for public health activities. You're supposed to report it to the public health department when they're tracking the spread of a disease.
Right. Not to the public.
Yeah. That's right. And anybody that's, you know, seriously at risk of spreading the disease, there are certain things that you can do, but you really should work with law enforcement, not by telling them to stop delivering mail. But, you know, there's things in place that public health interventions and investigations that are built for this. Don't be making your own decisions. And then disclosures to family, friends, and others. Reiterating, again, I want to reiterate, February, they were telling you, look, if you need verbal permission from an individual, or if they're unable or unconscious or incapacitated or whatnot, but it gives you the rules that have been there all along. These rules didn't change. They weren't new. In fact, they even referenced the statute, 164.510B,
mm-hmm.
that where necessary, notify family members and others, the police, the press, or the public at large. But again, you got to know when it's your job to do it and it's necessary. And then we get to prevent serious and imminent threat. Again, don't make those decisions on your own unless you're in an emergency. And then they brought up disclosures to the media and others not involved in the care of the patient or those kind of things. And they're like, okay, you don't do that. They say that a HIPAA authorization is required and so on and so forth. And you cannot restrict the patient's right to care. And all the things that we just went through, they told us then. They reminded you about the minimum necessary and that the safeguards that need to be in place. But then they also pointed out that HIPAA applies only to covered entities and business associates, and that everyone should remember, while it applies to covered entities, it applies only to them. So if the media gets the information, they're allowed to share it.
Yeah.
And then they gave us a bunch of links. So that was in February, like February 3rd that came out. And then things happened. And more or less in March is when the madness just, you know, the lockdown and all that stuff started. And there were several bulletins that came out in March. And in that, they were still reiterating some of the things that they are allowed to do in order to respond to any kind of emergency, blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, you can release or not require as much paperwork, right? And that was good. And you could make sure that that if you were going to use telehealth and you hadn't really gotten it worked out and you didn't have time whatsoever to figure it all out on the fly, and you needed care from somebody, you could use like Skype or FaceTime or some of those things that do not meet HIPAA requirements.
Right.
They called that enforcement discretion on telehealth remote communications. And then everybody's like, you can do telehealth. You don't have to do HIPAA. So then they had to come out with guidance on telehealth remote communication again.
You have guidance from the guidance.
Yeah. And they said, you know, you can use these temporarily. And enforcement discretion says we're going to expect you to have a good faith effort to do the right thing.
Right.
That's what we're hoping, is that you're going to do the right thing. And then they offered some guidance on disclosures to law enforcement, paramedics, first responders, and public health authorities, clarifying what you can do and in where enforcement discretion will be allowed. But there's not a lot of that in there. They do want you, you know, they want to, if they think that a paramedic is going in to pick up a patient that's seriously ill with COVID-19 and taking them straight to the ICU, they want the paramedic to know so that they can have the proper PPE in place. And if they don't have the PPE to protect the paramedic, then they need to make sure that they handle it another way. Because it's not about go in and save them, you know, without any armor whatsoever. The paramedic could choose to do that. And there are cases, you know, where a nurse didn't have the equipment, but jumped in to save someone's life. And unfortunately, she got the disease and died from it. There are plenty of healthcare workers who are stressed out and they're going above and beyond, and we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, somebody released their information, but it was released through proper channels. And in some cases, the nurse's name wasn't released when they tell stories about a nurse passing away.
Right.
So there's more than one nurse. So there was enforcement discretion on uses and disclosures of protected health information when it came to the testing and whether or not there were business associate agreements in place if you got a business associate to do it, and the community-based testing sites where they could do the drive-throughs and all of that kind of stuff. So they're putting things out there that say, look, we understand you may not be able to cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and do the paperwork. We're going to give you a break on that because we want you to care for people
mm-hmm.
and do the right thing. And that's what all of that was about.
Yep.
None of it said HIPAA's going away. None of it said this is happening this way forever. It's we will issue enforcement discretion.
Yeah. Not enforcement suspension, which is what they heard. You know, there's always that uh-huh. what I said and what I heard.
That's right.
It just never stops.
But, you know, that infer-imply thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
You implied it. No, you inferred it.
Yeah. It's permission, forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's always, you know, that's always been my motto. Lack of disapproval implies approval.
Right.
Yeah. If you know about it and you don't say anything, yeah, it's on you. But they did do some webinars. They did one on April 20th, and David and I sat in on pieces and parts of it as issues were pulling us away. But it is recorded. You can get the slides, all of that. We'll have a link to the slides and stuff there where you can get it. And they recap all of this. They explain it again in a webinar. And I didn't know. And they even say, if you have questions, here's where you go.
But HIPAA is just a bunch of best practices. It's just confusing. It's just policies and procedures. It's just easy.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. It's just a little bit of paperwork.
Yeah.
Answer a few questions, you're done.
Yeah, just run a scan.
Okay, I'm done with this for now. But clearly, you know, there's many ways that people have kind of, you know, if you're asked to do things to protect other people, you either do those things or don't go that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're asked to do things to protect people's privacy, you don't get to have the ultimate authority in deciding when you can and cannot do that because a reporter asked or the mailman needs to know. I mean, the post-it note that, and I can't wait until we learn who told them not to deliver. I mean, I hope we learn, but Tony, keep us on top of that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, please, but make sure you record it so we can put it in the episode because don't send the link to Donna. It was good grief.
I appreciate when Tony does.
All right, I'm ending the show because apparently that's the only thing I do around here. So thanks, everybody, for listening to my part of the show, the bookends, the opener and the closure. All right. So at least for me, I think HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
Me too, me too, me too.
Just for the record, I came up with the whole flipping tagline.
Well, you came up with everything. I never have stopped giving you credit.
That's right. The reason that you guys are listening today to this has nothing to do with Donna, sort of. All right, folks. Have a good one. We'll see you next Friday. Until then, go to thehippabootcamp.com. And hopefully we'll see you at the boot camp. Bye.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.